Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
Mm-hmm. So the science behind it is the reticular activating system. This is a part of your brain, the RAS for short. This is the part of your brain that looks for patterns. This is the part of your brain that regulates your sleep-wake cycle. So it really likes patterns and routines. So whatever your routine is, if your routine becomes gratitude, then you're putting that into your routine. You're looking for more of that.
Hey, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. It is Thanksgiving week here in the U.S., and I am laughing to myself right now because I just was expressing my gratitude for post-it notes, and just before I hit play, heard that sound that post-it notes make when they unadhese from something, and I heard it unadhese, and I don't see it anywhere, so I'm just having a little mini post-it panic, I guess. I've been really liberal lately with my post-it notes because I love post-it notes, and I've decided, you know, I'm just going to use them to the ultimate max, and I don't know, one is teasing me, I think. Anyway, here we are about to enter another episode, part one of a two-parter. Lexi with Why She Whistles, she is a positivity coach, and she is going to talk about how she works with the law of attraction, what that means to her, and a little bit of the science that she bases that on, and she talked about it in the beginning opening remark there. The words we use and how we phrase things and envisioning are two big pieces that she works with, and she's going to talk about that, give us some of her journaling practices, give us a little insight on her routine, and she talks about why she whistles and where it began and where it is now. And she will talk about the fact that this journey kind of started for her in the eighth grade. So she's going to walk us through the challenges that she had and kind of the road she travels that brings us to where she is now. And I give her a lot of credit for being in a space to wrangle up her own autonomy to be able to start that journey that young. Not that she realized that's what she was doing when she started it. Nonetheless, hindsight being 2020, she has a lot to pull from. So you're going to hear about that. And then next week, we are going to finish our discussion and she's going to talk more about working with people and also giving us a walkthrough, something that we can do on our own or with her if we want to take it farther or we're struggling with it, but something that we can do for ourselves to get ourselves moving on our path. So make sure you come back next week for that. And, you know, this is a great time to think about these things. You know, we're heading into the holiday season and the new year, which just seems to kind of be that conglomerate of time that we all pull together and sort of think about making shifts and looking at things anew. So we'll start and get the ball rolling early and get you thinking about it through the end of the year so that you're ready to dive in and you've got some tools right away to work with if the new year is a springboard for you. It has been fun getting to know Lexi. We had a sort of a chance meeting through other people directing us to each other a while back. And thank you to all of you who have done that and connected us up. And it's been fun getting to know her through her blog and her podcast. And this was a great chance to sit down with her and have a little more of an in-depth conversation to know where she is really coming from. So I hope you enjoy it. Before we dive in, I want to send out a huge thank you to all of you who are listeners of the podcast and those of you who have also shared the podcast with other people. You know, that is how this information gets to others. It is because of your sharing. It is a conversation that you have. All of those things on Facebook, forwarding the emails, all of that stuff is what not only supports the podcast, but it supports every single person on the podcast. So your sharing does honestly amazing things with amazing potential for ripples of people finding the information that helps them in their life and also supports those people who have taken the time to be on the podcast. So thank you so much for that. I thank you. The guests thank you. And if you are in a place that you can take a couple extra seconds this week, if you're on iTunes or anywhere else that you can review the podcast, I would be uber grateful if you would take a moment and rate the podcast. If you have a couple seconds, you can throw in a sentence about what you like about the podcast, what you've gotten from the podcast, all of those things. They truly, truly, I know this is whole podcast and sharing thing. For many people, it's new and it's weird and it's like, how does this even work? Those are things that matter. They really do. It can be a huge source of support. And of course, I do want to send out a very special thank you and appreciation to all of you who are part of the Wellness Renaissance Patreon community. I know I've said it before, but it doesn't change it. I really do appreciate your energy, your support, your vote for the work that I'm doing. You know, it really is an honor. I think actually maybe that's one of the better words I can use to describe my appreciation. It really is an honor. So thank you. Let's head on in with Lexi and we can get our law of attraction and our focus on as we head on with our week. Enjoy.
All right. Drum roll.
Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Studios, Lexi.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. How about let's start with you introducing yourself and what you do, and then we'll just go from there.
Okay. I am Lexi, and I run Why She Whistles, which is my positivity platform. So I am a positivity coach, and I just want to, like, my entire mission with anything that I'm doing is spreading as much positivity as possible. I haven't always been this way. My journey kind of came from... Originally, I grew up in this super small town, 76 people.
Whoa, and that's small.
Yeah.
Like 76. I love that it's 76 because it's like, 76. Well, did nobody die? Nobody born? Like, how does that...
No, I think my sisters and I were like the last to be born.
Oh, funny.
Just kidding. But anyways, I digress. There wasn't a lot of, I saw, you know, the regular jobs, you know, so for a long time, I knew that I wanted to help people. I knew that was my mission. I knew that I wasn't done growing and the people around me weren't done growing. And I wanted to be helpful in some way to, you know, I just wanted to level up. And so part of this came from what I saw around me, which was nurses, doctors. I had knee surgery, so I saw physical therapists, and these were kind of the careers that I was like, okay, I could be a physical therapist, I could be a nurse, and I also wanted to be a massage therapist. I think that healers kind of go down this path of like, where do I fit in? Mm-hmm. And so I had gone to college, gotten all the prereqs to nursing, and I was signed up to Bethel, one of my, like, universe switch path moments was being signed up to Bethel. I was, like, basically on the volleyball team. The coach wanted me there. I was in the nursing program except for one credit that didn't go through.
No.
And that would have set me back a whole year. So instead of going to Bethel, being in Minneapolis, 2020 hindsight, I'm so thankful because that's what pushed me into Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends was like, hey, LSC has a nursing program. I have a room in my apartment. Like, let's be roommates. And that's what got me here 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. So then I was working originally on the St. Luke's cardiac unit. And I love that job. I was a CNA, certified nursing assistant. So I've worked in nursing homes and a lot of, like, caregiver jobs I've had. And one of them was St. Luke's. And one day I was just having the best day. I had been in Duluth for a few months. And I was walking down the cardiac unit. I was so happy. Like, I was just thinking about my friends that I had here, how much I love this job, and being in Duluth, I think it's a completely different culture. and I was whistling. And I remember having a laundry bag over my shoulder. I just left a room with a patient, blue scrubs on. I remember the lights and everything, and I'm whistling, walking down the hall. And as I reach for the laundry door, the laundry room door, it like clicked in my head. Like, I had that aha moment. And I was like, why she whistles? This is why she whistles. She's happier, she's healthier, she's found her community of people that she really wants, like, this feels like home, and that's why she whistles.
Nice. Cool. And that answers the obvious question of, why how does she whistle?
Why does she whistle? She is happier, she is healthier, and she's finally helping people.
Nice.
In her own way. I had to create this. And I've always been really artistic. I really like art and putting together. The brand is super interesting to me. I love the business side of it, too.
Uh-huh.
I love just figuring out, like, okay, what audience, what do they need? Like, how can I serve? What do young kids in schools need right now? Because I had that tough time, like, as I was growing up in this conservative place,
mm-hmm.
kind of figuring out where I fit in, and I felt like I didn't have as much. I didn't see, you know, if I would have started out in my school and been like, you know what, guys? I'm gonna be a positivity coach. Like, I don't think anybody would have taken me seriously. Right. Sometimes I tell my grandma what I'm doing, and she's like, What does that mean? Like, it's just kind of unheard of.
Right.
But anybody that I tell, I'm a positivity coach. I teach the law of attraction. They're like, oh, the world needs more of that for sure. Like, yes.
We need to be careful what we're attracting, though.
It's true.
As long as you're, well, as you stated, you're putting the positivity and the law of attraction together, so you're kind of being clear into what direction you're going there.
Clear vision. Yeah.
So the law of attraction, talk about what that means to you.
Yeah. So it did start with a friend from Duluth giving me the book, The Secret. And I read that in, you know, a couple days, and I was like, whoa, this really matters. I've always liked writing, and so language was really at the forefront, kind of, for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in speech when I was in high school, so I really liked putting together words. Being intentional with words is, like, really powerful to
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And to know the right words to use for yourself and when you're talking to other people, I think is super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main part of the law of attraction that I focus on, is that your words have so much power. What you're thinking, what you're speaking about, that becomes your truth. So the law of attraction to me is picking uplifting words for yourself, how you believe in yourself, your circumstances, the vision of your future, what you want that to be like, how you're talking about that. So big example is money. People always are like, okay, so how do I law of attract money? And my biggest, to start out doing this, you'll catch people saying, I'm broke, I can't afford this, pick the cheap one, or, like, that's their thought in their head that they need to, you know, go after the bottom line of what they can afford.
Right.
All of these words kind of bring up this negative feeling. So I want you to empower your words. So maybe you're not saying, I'm a millionaire. You can write that down. I love journaling, too, for language and putting words into action.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say something more like, for the example, the other day, my friend was like, let's go out to get lunch. And I can either say, I'm too broke, like, don't have money in my account for that. Or I could say, this isn't in my budget right now, I'm saving up for vacation. Or, you know, I'm saving up for $1,000 emergency fund. Like, empower, set your intention, set your vision, and then don't use your words in, like, a destructive way to yourself. Mm-hmm. Use them in an, okay, I have my shit together. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm going, and I'm leveling up.
I like that statement of the, it's not in my budget.
Yeah.
You know, just...
That says, it allows, I have a budget, I have a plan, and this isn't really in my plan.
Right, right. And it kind of gives you the control.
Yeah.
You know. Well, another thing that I heard somebody else say was, you know, her comment was to, that she always is hearing people say, and I totally know that I say this, of, you know, I don't have the money for that.
Yeah.
And she would say, you know, I, in thinking about it, I choose not to spend my money on that. Which is an interesting thing, although it's one of the comments that then comes by if your friend comes by, hey, let's go to dinner. I choose not to spend money on that right now. It feels like they're being rejected, but it is your choice.
Words are probably, in my opinion, one of the most powerful things you can do to set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. The other is having that clear vision piece. So, in my belief, a lot of people who feel like they just don't have the passion for life anymore, you know, kind of crisis mode, they aren't reaching for more. So they don't have that bigger vision for their life. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've achieved the highest success that they've visualized already. You know, their vision was getting the job that they got or having the money to have security for a family. Maybe it was having kids, maybe it was getting married. And then once they get to that level, it's like, okay, flatline. Mm-hmm. Literally, if you flatline, you're dead. Like, you're walking around kind of like a zombie, and you don't have this light that you're going towards, or this level that you're working up to. So in my belief, your vision also really matters of your life. And this is where I do a lot of journaling. I love journaling my vision of where I'm going in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these practices that I put into my daily law of attraction, and it doesn't have to be daily for you. If it works once a week, or you do it once a month, or maybe you do it once a year, you're like, this is my vision for how 2020 is going to go. Then that is your intention. It doesn't have to be a daily thing. This is just, it has to work for you. Whatever your practice becomes, mm-hmm, of improving yourself, it has to work for you. So I do 5 things that I'm grateful for, because words matter and you want to be grateful for what you have right now. This signals to the universe, or whatever your higher power is, if it's your higher self, the signals that you really appreciate where you're at right now. You really enjoy the things that are around you. You're thankful for the relationships in your life, the little things. So I'll narrow these 5 things that I'm grateful for down to what has happened in the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not big things like, I'm thankful for my family. It's like, I'm thankful for this freaking amazing cup of coffee that I had this morning.
Right?
Or maybe I found a new tea that I just love. Or maybe it's the hot shower. Like, I got a full 20-minute shower. Got the full scrub down, and it was amazing. So whatever you're, like, grateful for in these little moments, that signals you to just look for more things to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. So the science behind it is the reticular activating system. This is a part of your brain, the RAS for short. This is the part of your brain that looks for patterns. This is the part of your brain that regulates your sleep-wake cycle. So it really likes patterns and routines. If you notice that babies, if you get them on like a sleep and diet schedule, they function really well. They'll go to sleep like that. They know when their routine is, and that's because their RAS has picked up on that routine for them. So whatever your routine is, if your routine becomes gratitude, then you're putting that into your routine. You're looking for more of that. Mm-hmm. So that your brain picks up on, it's like, whenever, if you get a new vehicle, your brain picks up on that vehicle. It starts to see more of them because that's a new pattern. So if you're aware of this gratitude practice, that becomes your pattern of looking for more things to be grateful for. Yes. So that's the first part of, that's the long-winded first part of my, like, daily law of attraction visualizing. So then I will put things down like, I am an amazing wifey to Aram. Because we are boyfriend and girlfriend right now, and I truly believe that he's the love of my life. And I want to, you know, get married and constantly be working to be a great partner. So that's one of the things that I write down every day. Mm-hmm. And then I'll write things like the amount of money I have in my savings account to a specific dollar, like $5,000. I'll write out my intentions with, I love the 5 clients that I'm coaching. And so these are making new patterns for my brain to look for. So, okay, I'm looking for another client to start coaching, or I'm looking for some way that I can serve Aram today. Like, maybe I, you know, do the dishes when I normally would have just laid down on the couch or whatever it is. So that just helps you to keep leveling up in your daily life. And after that visualizing, whatever that is for your life, your tailored visualizing for leveling up your life, then I write my why underneath it. Why? Because clear vision, then you act as if, so you write down these visions for your life as if they've already happened. I am an amazing wifey to Aram. I have $5,000 in my bank account. And then I write down the why to get those emotions behind it. Why is this important to me? Having $5,000 in my bank account would feel so freaking empowering. I wouldn't have to worry about money. I would have 3 months of rent and utilities and expenses covered. Like, so that's the emotional part of maybe being a millionaire doesn't really, it's not as close to you. And maybe it's way out there. Yeah, right. So you don't have that much feeling attached to it.
Right. It's hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. It's hard to feel that. You can kind of feel that. I mean, I can, you know, when I my shorthand phrase for everything is, you know, when I get Bill Gates rich, you know, and in some ways it's a far off thing because somebody asked me about that. But at the same time, my mindset around that is if I had enough money that I just don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
I can do what I need to do to take care of myself. I can put the things in place that allow me to do the work that I want to do better. And I can give and help other people the way I want. Like, I can imagine that weight being so lifted that I don't, you know, I don't know. Maybe the Bill Gates rich is too far reaching. But in my mind, I have this very solid, like, idea of what does that look like to me? What does that feel like?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I appreciate the number piece because that makes something very solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would challenge you with the language part of it to, like, cut out the word if. I am going to be financially not going to be. Cut out that if. That going to be, like, the future words that signal, like, okay, that's far out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because your words and your thoughts become your truth. So you want to have those words be present tense.
Mm-hmm. So the going to be keeps it out forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. Right. Yeah.
Language. The power of words.
It's a fascinating
thing.
And
we can lift each other up, you know? Bad words or, like, name calling, you can feel the emotions that are attached to that. Mm-hmm. Or how you talk to yourself is so, so important. I actually think that it definitely is. I've talked to a lot of men about this too, that we all have this inner critic of ourselves, and we all, because we can be hard on ourselves, we have this kind of this big dog that, like, bites at us, you know? Like, why aren't you doing more? Like, you know, idiot, or whatever it is.
Right.
So that has a feeling. So if you can start to catch those, and I really like to put a mantra behind something. So my inner mean girl, her name is Alexa.
Okay.
So I say, and I'm sorry for all of you who are listening with Alexas, because right. They're all like binging right now.
Exactly.
So I'm like, Alexa, off. Or I'm like, Alexa, new thought. And that kind of gets me like, okay, we pick something, and then I'll think of something I'm grateful for, or I'll think of something I love about myself. And it sounds dorky. Like, people don't tell you, think about things that you love about yourself, because right. That seems self-centered.
Right. You only do that when you're filling out job resumes.
Yeah. And those are hard for some reason.
They're very hard.
But yes. Like, why wouldn't we lift up ourselves highest, like, in, you know, why wouldn't we give ourselves enough love so that it overflows out of, you know, out of us onto the people around us? So that's the biggest piece of it too, is believing that you can, believing that you're worthy of all your desires, believing that leveling up is possible for you.
Mm-hmm.
You do deserve the freaking amazing life that you have visualized for yourself. And nobody can tell you that you're not smart enough, you're not strong enough, you're not worthy of this, if you're telling yourself that you are. A lot of people love you, a lot of people, you know, care about you, but you're the most important one.
And we listen to that. We listen to that voice.
Yeah.
You know, our own voice pretty intensely. And it's really hard for somebody else to override that voice. I know that's true for me.
Mm-hmm. It can be a life sentence in your mind, or it can be your greatest joy. And that's up to you, really. It's up to your inner work that you do on your own thoughts and just catching that language for yourself.
Right.
And believing that your thoughts have a lot of power. So use them for good.
Yeah, it's shaping our language. Because I'm thinking about, you know, I work sometimes with people who are, you know, things are not going well for them. Right. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, and how. And I think you, it sounds like you have tools for this from just the way you're talking about it, is, you know, this isn't about always being perfectly happy in every moment, because life is real and life happens, right? But what do we do with those moments when it does feel like the world is caving in on us, or we just get caught up in the stuff going around us? Sometimes it's outside of us and we really don't have to worry about it, but sometimes it's right there. It's in our daily life. It's what stops us from, you know, maybe it's the thing, you know, the firing from the job or the whatever, yeah. And you know, all of those things. And I think it's a worthy question to ask when somebody is in that place, when, you know, things really do not look good,
mm-hmm.
You know, and just a lot of things, and it feels overwhelming, and you just aren't in a place where you can just make it all better, quote unquote, by happy thoughts. And I know that's not exactly what you're saying, but where does somebody go in that moment of time when they are just like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. Life sucks. I've heard that before. And I've thought that before. That used to be my truth. Honestly, to those people, I want to say the first step is to have compassion for yourself and your entire life journey. You know, nothing is permanent, and you have the ability to get out of that situation too. Yeah, I had started out this whole self-development journey as an eighth grader because I was super anxious and so depressed. I had major anxiety just because I just felt like I was so different. I felt like I didn't have a lot of people who related to me. I felt weird. I didn't have great friends that really stuck with me. You know, there was bullying in school. On top of that, I got pulled up to varsity volleyball as an eighth grader. So I was a little girl the body image part of it, like, that can really sink you down. I started to develop curves, and then I was thrown into spandex, and then I was put on a court, and there's all these people around me, you, and you're expecting, like, to, it's kind of a performance of athletics.
Okay.
So that just, it, ooh, all of that just created a lot of anxiety for me as an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into some really self-destructive habits. I finally seeked out help from a doctor, from a physician's assistant, yep. And she was my mom's best friend. Super, I trust her with all my heart. And I got prescribed because this was my hometown. This was, you know, what doctors study is pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. the balance of chemicals in your brain. And I completely understand where you can take one part of some, like a symptom, call it a chemical imbalance as science, and then put a prescription to it. Like, I very much understand that form of training, mm-hmm. that is Western medicine, but that didn't empower me. And that's the contrast of it. Like, that very, very low place in my life skyrocketed me to where I am now as a 22-year-old with a positivity coaching business. Mm-hmm. So it's that contrast of you need the lows to figure out, this isn't where I want to be. Mm-hmm. This really isn't where I want to be. Like, this sucks, you know? But then you have the power to create your new reality. Okay, what's the first step that I can do to get out of this? Okay, what's the next step? What's the next step? Just one step at a time. This has been an 8-year journey for me being this positive. It didn't happen overnight. And I'm young, and I truly believe that I have another level to go up to. Like, I will constantly be jumping to a new level through my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But because I got to start at this beautiful, fragile, low place, I had to learn self-compassion first. Like, you're young, you know? You're the beginner in this journey. And for anybody who maybe hasn't leapt on this self-development, maybe they're doing the best with what they can. They're doing the best with what they have. And having that compassion for yourself to say, I'm a beginner at this too, it's going to take some time to become an expert, mm-hmm. or in a better position. Not beating yourself up for the tools that you were given. That recognition of, here's where I am, here's where I want to be, let's go to the first step.
Right. And I think it's easy sometimes, you know, you're like, okay, I'm X old. Yeah. You know, I should have this figured out because it's kind of what we're told. But those are not the tools we're given in school and in, you know, in many, many cases, right? And I'm thinking about you as an eighth grader. So talk about that a little bit. Like, what did that look like for you? Whatever you want to share about the depression piece is totally fine. But what did that look like in your head and in your going, I need to do something different? Because I'm thinking of myself, mm-hmm. as an eighth grader. I don't remember eighth grade as well as I remember ninth grade. Ninth grade was my personal hell.
Yeah. And like, okay, raise of hands if you just loved middle school.
Oh my God, it was horrible.
If this was the best time of your life.
Oh yeah.
I literally have friends who are like, I would pay to go back. I'm like, I would pay to forget.
I know. You know, Stephen King says, he says, anybody who liked high school, he says, I don't even know how to relate to you. Like, I don't know what to do with that. But yeah, it is. It can be such a horrible time in your life. I mean, I remember where I was at in ninth grade, and it wasn't pretty. It's an interesting thing to think of it, because I think of eighth grade, that's so young, and it is really young. And I think of the things that I tried to do to try to adjust.
Yes.
And you're, you know, listening to you say, I sought help. Like, I don't know if you did that by yourself or if you talked to your mom or how that looked for you. I know for me, it was outside sources. It was like your brain works into, I can't do this anymore. Like,
yeah.
And you get amazing at trying to figure out, how do I do this? And then keep everybody happy while I'm trying to figure me out and not lose it completely, you know?
Yeah. And also being mature and having that perspective of yourself, you tend to not want to be a burden on somebody else. You tend to think that this is your responsibility. And that's really hard as a middle schooler too. Like, nobody should feel like that. Nobody should feel like they're alone in that journey. So as an eighth grader, I felt really alone. And that was the bottom line. And I was kind of an angsty eighth grader. My parents would remember that time in my life and their life as a lot of fights, a lot of yelling, a lot of disagreements, because I was always this strong-headed, free-willed. I just didn't want to be put in a box. That was really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And as an eighth grader, if you're doing something weird or unique or different, you were outside of the box that you were being put in. And that was really not, it was like a ceiling coming down on top of you. And you're like trying to lift it up, but you just kind of sink into the corner and accept that this is where you belong, or this is where you're going to be, and that it sucks, and it's dark, and it's not pretty.
And it's never going to end.
It's never going to end. And like, where's the paint so I can color these walls yellow?
When you are a not fit in kid,
when you have a different agenda.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was kind of me too. You know, I was different than a lot of the other kids. I wasn't cute and tiny and pretty, and I was really tall, and I was like all of this awkwardness and all of the things that I love nobody else did and made fun of me for. And so it was just like, yeah, you don't fit in and you feel incredibly alone, and kids are horribly cruel, you know, because they're trying to figure their stuff out. All they want is to fit in, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I can totally imagine that place and how you were. But to recognize in yourself, I'm not okay right now. Like, I really need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a whirlwind as well. I started diving a little bit, YouTubers. I was seeking out YouTubers because those were my teachers at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I had great art teachers and I had great coaches. My mom and my grandma, of course, were women that had a life that I could see myself doing, but it was mainly YouTubers that I was like, okay, they're being these creative people. They're putting themselves out there. They're speaking into the lives of me, and I've never met them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, there's power in, you know, reaching out, doing something different. And a lot of them would talk about, yeah, I told my parents that I'm a YouTuber now, and they're like, they just don't understand. So it kind of, you have to pave your own path for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you, in this time, I know you had mentioned that you ended up getting on pretty hard, intense drugs to help you with your anxiety and your depression.
That cloud. So I was in this really dark space, I just felt blah. Like, it was almost like existential crisis of, why am I here? What am I doing here? This isn't the place that I want to be. And then sought out help, both from talking with my mom and her being like, okay, well, let's go see a doctor. Let's go talk to a therapist. And that whole being prescribed Xanax and Zoloft as an eighth grader, I didn't really want to start out my life like that. I wish somebody would have told me that my mindset and my love for myself and that community really matter to your healing journey.
Do you think you could have heard it at that age, though?
I think that I was looking for anything that would help me feel better.
Okay.
And I do. I think that the women that I look up to, you know, their conversations with me helped the most.
Mm.
And talking with them and their vulnerability with me helped the most. And conversations with people really helped the most in talking to them and being like, okay, here's where I'm at. And them being like, that's okay. Here's where I'm at too. You know, we're in this together.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't dismiss you, which is really great. Cause I know that's something that I certainly struggle with at that age. You're just like, you're a kid. You have nothing to be stressed about. You're fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And if we're not empowered to use our voice and talk about what's going on, that can really put a damper on how we feel. The throat chakra, you know? If there's blocks at the throat chakra, then your head doesn't feel good either, right? And everything up from there is not okay. And
right.
That's just major body energy imbalance.
Right.
As it, you know. So
kudos to your people around you
right?
for listening and taking you seriously. And, you know, that's fantastic. And letting you speak your truth and them being able to speak theirs and not, again, this comes from just my world that I grew up in, but not just saying, well, you've got it bad, I've got it bad too.
Mm-hmm.
But saying, okay, this is you're in a tough spot. Here's how I'm feeling. And again, it's in this together, so we got to figure this out, which is, again, a lovely thing.
Yeah. My grandma has had a huge impact on me. My mom had me when she was super young, which is such a blessing because we've been really close. She's always wanted me to be open with her about what's going on because she was right there too, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't long before that she had me that she was a teenager, so she could really relate to all my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent a lot of time with my grandma, who had this older, more mature, she had friends all around her. She wouldn't just spend alone time with me either. She would be bringing me with her when she would visit her friends or when they would meet up for lunch or something. So I was in this group of women who was lifting themselves up, and they had been friends for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
So that was the level of community that I really needed, honestly, mm-hmm. to
kind of tap back into yourself in good space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So community, that's powerful.
Right. Yeah, it definitely is. And so you were able to ditch the drug piece.
Yeah, I just
kind of go, this doesn't feel good for me.
Honestly, I got prescribed a couple of bottles or cycles, and I just, every time I think I spent a month actually, like, taking them, like, every day. But then I felt, like, even more blah, like, didn't even have a personality.
Yeah.
And I knew that it wasn't.
This is not for you.
I just knew.
Right. That's great. That's great. I mean, it's great that you figured that out. It's great that you went, okay, this doesn't
and
work.
And I think that's partially because of the community in my life of powerful women mm-hmm. who were lifting me up to say, your opinion matters. You know more about yourself than even we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in your body, you're in your mind, and that, like, self knowledge of your own being, of your own holistic health
mm-hmm.
is really important too.
Yeah, to let you recognize that and be aware of it in that.
Yeah.
Right. That's very cool. I mean, it's just very cool that you were able to, like, sort of speak that and then move forward. So then you're in eighth grade, you're moving, what is moving forward? Like, what are those next steps that got you into, was it the community and, you know, was it just kind of being embraced by your grandmother's community and getting through that time? And what kind of
it was that, and I was always seeking out some form of improvement in my health. And so I was watching a lot, reading a lot about health and diet. Specifically, I was vegan for 6 months.
Okay.
Right before I went to college, I was vegan for 6 months, and this was a full journey of research and of, like, environmental stuff and the industry and, you know, the self-help benefits. So people are like, well, what's your reason? And I'm like, everything. It all matters. So I really felt great after that, and that kind of was a reset for me.
Okay.
But just always challenging myself to get one step further, one more piece of information that could help me, one more health benefit that I could put into my routine, figuring out what routine and diet works for me. Mm-hmm. It's not a fad diet that is, like, blanketed over everyone. It was really figuring out what worked for me. And I, like, now teach people, just empower yourself. What works for you? You are in control. You know, you're intuitive. Like, hopefully you have a sense of yourself and, you know, mm-hmm. your body chemistry. So kind of figuring out, maybe if it's not the self-developmental piece for you initially, or using the law of attraction, maybe it's just adding in exercise once a week, even. Mm-hmm. If that's your starting point, then, like, that's your beginning. Mm-hmm. We all have to start somewhere. So that was kind of my journey through. I was always just adding one more piece. And now I feel pretty dang good.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, that was a very interesting journey.
I know it's not done yet.
I was going to say, and you're still on it, right? You know, you're still figuring things out.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting when I'm going back and editing the podcast. You know, we do the interview and we have questions and you're processing in real time and going off of that. And then, of course, I go back and edit and I can listen very differently at that time. And so many things process differently for me. Questions that come up or my own reflection that I'm able to do a little more while I'm editing. And that was no exception for this one. I thought a lot about so many things that she talked about in relation to operating in the world, relation to my own life. I resonate with her statement about not being put in a box, and that she was able to use YouTube and things like that that didn't exist when I was a teenager or her age, and to think about what my life would look differently if I had been able to see into people's lives the way that we are now in a different way. I'm not sure positive or negative. I think positive, actually. You know, I had books and music and Boy George and a few people at school to sort of carry me through the tough times of trying to figure myself out and figure out what was possible in the world. And YouTube just opens up these doors of examples and normalizes so many things that is so different. Definitely pros and cons, but we are obviously seeing so many possibilities, and it's a very interesting shift. And it's interesting too, thinking about how we are in a space where we have more self-help, like, tools, whether it is videos or books or people or words or podcasts. We have so many things available to us. And in another weird way, we have sort of less time, less free time, less quiet time, less downtime to sort of integrate these things into our heads and beings and making our own personal shifts or bigger, grander shifts as well. So it is about finding a way to create that space for us and that personal time into being. All right. So much more could be said on all of that. You can find Lexi on Instagram at Why She Whistles. You can find her blog and podcast at whyshewhistles.com. And Facebook is Why She Whistles with spaces. Everything else is without spaces. Coming up at the end of December, December 30th, it's a Monday evening. Lexi is doing a goal getter workshop that you can sign up for, and you can find that event on Facebook by searching 2020 Goal Getter Workshop or going through Lexi's page. Again, it's happening Monday, December 30th at 7 to 8:30 p.m. And it's happening at Wild State Cider here in Duluth, Minnesota. It's in West Duluth. The address is 2515 if you're not familiar. And if you haven't been there, I've been there once. It's a really cool place. When you get inside, take a moment to take a look up. They have an amazing display of greenery put in by Duluth Living Walls that is just gorgeous. So definitely take a look at that. I have put a link to the event in the notes page if that's helpful for you. Sounds like a great event. I'm not sure I can make it yet, but who knows? Perhaps I'll see you there. Thank you so much for listening. I invite you back next week to continue our conversation with Lexi. There is more fun stuff and tools to come. Until then, may you continue to find pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. Take good care, and may you have a wonderful turkey day and family time and Thanksgiving, however you celebrate on these, if we're honest, quite complicated origins of this holiday. So I know for some people it is a complex journey, as most everything is, isn't it? All right, take care. See you next week. Bye-bye.